When I imagine that Jesus rose from the dead, and I think of the time he spent with his disciples after that, before ascending to be with his Father in heaven, I imagine all the information that he wanted to give, the teaching that he wanted to give, and how the disciples would have wanted to learn, perhaps even with more enthusiasm than they had before when they sat at his feet. There's so much they didn't understand, so much that they wanted to learn. And scripture reveals so much more to us now than we could possibly imagine. And we have this teaching of the risen Christ for us to be able to fix our faith upon, build ourselves upon as a rock, if we like. And so I want to share with you some of that teaching today, some of the teaching that I imagine Jesus revealing as he sat with his disciples after his resurrection. Today we're going to talk about the three primary offices that are woven together throughout the Old Testament that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ and why these are so important. This is known as the tri-perspective view of Christ. This is the importance that there is of understanding Jesus to be the prophet that was spoken about to come, as being the priest that was spoken about to come, and as being the king that was spoken about and prophesied about. So let's deal first of all with the prophet. The office of the prophet was simply to speak the word of God. And we know that there were many prophets and their writings are in the Old Testament. The prophet would speak God's word into society by confronting sin, by commanding repentance, by crying out the truth. So we can see that Jesus has the hallmarks of being a prophet in his ministry. Now, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets was known as Moses. And Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything that he tells you." And these words of Moses are quoted in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The Old Testament prophet was connected to the word of God because his ministry was to proclaim the word of God. And when Jesus spoke, he did not speak like any other religious leader of his time or like any prophets who had spoken before him. One of the things that set Jesus apart and revealed that he was the one that Moses was talking about was that he spoke under his own authority. He wasn't just giving God's message, he was speaking the message from God as one who is God. Not only did Jesus speak God's word, but he is the very living word of God. And the theological term for this is one that you would have heard before. It is that he is the incarnation. Now, Jesus wasn't just any prophet. We know that many of the prophets were imperfect in many ways. Jesus is different to them because he is the perfect prophet, because he is the incarnation. And the Bible reveals to us that he is the incarnation because in John chapter 1 verse 14 it says that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Incarnation literally means with flesh on. So Jesus was the prophet that was spoken about. But it's not enough to understand Jesus as the prophet. We must also understand him as the priest that was spoken about. In the Old Testament, the priest would stand humbly between God and the people as the mediator between God and man. You remember, because of sin, man's sinfulness, that people didn't have direct access to God, but they could access God through the priest who stood as the mediator. Mediator simply means to intervene between people in a dispute to bring about reconciliation, and that's exactly what the priest was to do between God, who is unutterably holy, and humankind, who are sinners. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one mediator between God and man, and we all know who that is. So if you have that one true mediator between God and man, and he is Jesus, then you don't need a priest other than him. Now, the high priest before Jesus came would be an advocate. He would be an intercessor. He would listen to confession and he would offer sacrifices. That was his role. Jesus perfects that role. Jesus is the high priest because his sacrifice is superior to all the others. Whereas the other priests would have to make amends by offering sacrifices regularly, Jesus offers himself as a completely pure, once and for all time sacrifice that reconciles God and man together. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer those sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, because he was perfect, and then for the sins of the people, because his sacrifice is perfect. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all as he was there on the cross. And that's when he offered himself, and he offered a way back to God for people. He was the perfect priest, the perfect mediator. Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world if he were not perfect. But now he has appeared in flesh, incarnate, for all at the end of ages to do away with sin by offering himself as the sinless sacrifices. And that is exactly what it says in Hebrews 9, verse 26. There's no question about needing any other sacrifice. There's no question whether Jesus was not the high priest, the perfect priest. The book of Hebrews tells us he was those things. Jesus' intercession as our high priest makes both our worship and our prayer possible. We now have access to God. If we didn't, there'd be no point in us worshipping and praying. We would be on the wrong side of the barrier. We would need a priest to access God for us on our behalf, still offering sacrifices. But because Jesus has made a way possible, we are able to worship and pray. And this is why when we do pray, we pray in the name of Jesus, because that name just breaks the barrier down between God and all humankind. And that is why it's incredibly important that Jesus is not just a prophet, but is a priest as well. The scripture says, for our perfect priest, we see that he is not unable to sympathize with our weakness. He is the priest that we need. He is the king that we need also. The role of the Old Testament king was not to rule over the nation, to rule over the nation. We think about what the king was and why he did that. Jesus is our perfect king. As King Jesus, he rules over both the material and the immaterial worlds. His kingdom stretches beyond any national boundary by which we associate kings. He is the perfect king. What part of our life does Jesus not rule over from his position as Lord? So we're asked from this, what does it matter and how does it affect our lives that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king? And what is our perspective of the tri-perspective view of Jesus? As a prophet, Jesus confronts us all and calls us all to repent of our sins. As a priest, Jesus comforts us and saves us from our sin. And as King, Jesus commands us to relinquish authority of our lives and let him rule over our lives. If we miss one of these offices out, then we don't get the fullness of what we need from Jesus. If we just have prophet and king but no priest, then we just have a fundamental legalistic version of Jesus. The strength of this perspective of Jesus is the bold prophetic Jesus who commands repentance. The resulting weakness is a cold, distant God waiting for us to mess up if we don't think of Jesus in this way. From this perspective of Christ, we can be left to relate to God from a position of despair or pride. If we think of Jesus as simply prophet and priest, but not king, we find ourselves in an evangelical moralistic version of who Jesus is. The strength of this perspective of Jesus is that the people know Jesus speaks truth as prophet and loves them as a priest, but there is a general de-emphasis of his role as king over their lives. And the result is that the moral lives of many Christians look similar to those of the average non-Christian. And that's not what we're going for. And that's not what Jesus intended. The reason for this is that when we do not see Jesus as king, we still try to rule over our lives. When we choose not to view Jesus as king, the result is a double life of hypocrisy. If we have Jesus as being priest and king, but not prophet, what comes about is a liberal emergent version of Jesus. The result with this perspective is a Jesus who would never raise his voice, never want to offend us or call us to repent. And we know that that is not who Jesus was. When Jesus is not seen as a prophet, sinful beliefs and sinful behaviours are not only accepted, but blessed. Until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, Ephesians says, we need Jesus to be there in that role also. So what is your perspective of Jesus Christ, and how does it affect the way you live your life?